Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Talking about the grace of God the last several weeks, and it's a wonderful thing. And I want to share some other things with you today. I hope it's been helpful to you, what I've been teaching and preaching on. But God's grace by His power. We're saved by God's grace and power. It's only by God's grace that He and His power that He keeps us saved. You know, we pray. It's by God's grace that He hears our prayers and answers them. It's by God's grace that He blesses us. Grace is something we don't deserve. The believer, the Christian, needs God's grace for every day. Well, look at how that happens. I kind of ended this morning just getting into this in Romans chapter 6. But I want to go back and start in verse 11 as we look here in the Scriptures. Because it's not just grace to be saved, but it's grace to get through each and every day of our lives. Verse 11, Romans chapter 6, follow with me silently, said, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and your blessings and your goodness. Father, I pray for the working of the Holy Spirit tonight in hearts and lives. And I just pray that you would teach us and instruct us and help us to grow, Father, spiritually, and in your word and in your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come down here in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Here's one of the secrets, yielding. This verse shows that the power of God, and the power to serve God, rather, the power is of God. It's not you or me. But it's God. I read several verses this morning. It's God. It's Christ, the God that worketh in you and in me. And there's other things in these verses. We're dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. Our sins were nailed to the cross, but He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey. He said, God delivered us and saved us from sin. Don't continue. Don't live in sin just to say you're saved by grace. Don't yield your members, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your brain, your thinking, your ears. Don't yield the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. You know, the Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil, but yield yourselves unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Yielding. This verse shows that as we look at this, and he said, your members as instruments of unrighteousness, and I left off that with that this morning, but yielding. When you're driving down the street, and you come to a stop sign, you do what? Stop. But what does a yield sign mean? Jason, you're a policeman. What are we supposed to do when we come to a yield sign? Give way to the traffic, somebody who has the right of way. What happens if you don't yield, usually, if there's a lot of traffic? There's going to be a crash, an accident, something happens. Somebody gets hurt, usually. Yield, give the right of way. And when you see a yield sign and there's other cars coming, they get the right of way. If you don't see anybody, you look, yeah, you can go on through. He's saying here to yield yourselves unto God. Give God the right of way. Let God have first place in your life. Let God have the priority in your life. The part is yielding. Now, when God saved us, He gave us, and when God made man, He gave us a free will. A person can choose to get saved or remain unsaved. I've talked to people who say, well, I've never rejected Christ. I said, are you saved? No, then by not being saved, you have rejected Christ. Anybody who's not saved has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but once we're saved, people say, well, I'm saved. What more do I need to do? Some people look at it as fire insurance. But you know what? When we're saved, He said, yield yourselves unto God. Let Him have first place and priority in our lives. And we go on down here, and He says, as instruments, an instrument for God to use. And an instrument is useless and powerless without the control of the master. And there's a difference between trying to serve God and being used by God. Sometimes we try too hard, but it's letting God use us. Today I brought, what did I bring? A hammer and what else? A monkey wrench and what else? Pipe wrench. And it was what? A left-handed monkey wrench. That's right. Clayton, you ever see a left-handed monkey wrench? It's out in my car. Tonight, here, I got a couple things to remember. We could go flying with this. What's that? Who can tell me? A plane. This plane, that again was also my dad's, and I've used it, but when you look at a plane, there's different blades on it, and there's different adjustments. But that plane sitting by itself does nothing. Here's one. Who knows what this is? A blowtorch. I got five or six of these. Who knows what you use a blowtorch for? Plumbing. What do you do with it for plumbing, Cal? Well, a lot of these were back well before the copper. We used to use it on pipes to thaw out pipes. You have a liquid in there and you pump it up and so on, up and down, and build up pressure. But the little acetylene torch has kind of taken its place. Now, what do you use this for? No. Jackson? For cement, that's right. That's a trowel, and I've got several. I've got one that's an edger where you make the little curvy thing around sidewalks. Now, any one of these tools, or like I brought today, is useless unless somebody picks it up and uses it. You and I are to be instruments of God. Now, can this plane by itself go out and shave wood? It's got to have somebody who knows how to use it. But you got to know what you're doing. But it's when the hand of somebody who knows what they're doing is when it's good. You could go and have a job and say, I got to plane this wood off. Now they have electric planers, but it does no good sitting there. I could set this down and say, you know, I got a sidewalk to finish. Hey, go do it for me. And it sets there. Back in the day when we used to use these to thaw out pipes, got some frozen pipes. I could go under a house, set that torch there and say, hey, do your thing. Come out an hour later and say, why didn't you thaw out those pipes? It's got to have somebody who knows how to use it to use the instruments, to use the tools. And we could go on with other things. But you see, God wants to do the work himself through the Christian. God said, I'll do it if you'll let me, if you'll yield. And as we serve the Lord under grace, it's realizing, you know what, I don't deserve it, but God said he'll do it for me. God said he'll witness through me, he'll live his life through me, he'll preach through me, he'll teach through me, he'll go to work through me. Doesn't the Bible say everything we do, do as unto the Lord? So when you clean your house, you go to work, you mow your lawn, everything we do, we're to do it as if we're doing it under the Lord. When I learned that a long time ago, it quit being a chore when I was working a secular job and as a pastor. It becomes a labor of love. When you ask God to work through you, and you know, sometimes I run into people that do this, they pray for a job. And they pray for a job, and God gives them a job, and then they go, I hate this stinking job. Isn't that like the children of Israel who prayed and asked God for food and he gave them manna in the wilderness? They began to moan and groan and gripe and complain, oh, we got to eat this lousy manna. It was the blessings of God. God blesses us, and sometimes people look and say, I don't like this. It becomes a chore in the Christian life, and everything becomes a chore. And that's because instead of trusting in God and letting God do it, they're doing it in the energy of the flesh. And so he says, yield. Now go down to verse 16. I ended with these today, but know ye not, that's don't you know, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. He said, it's up to you. It's up to each person, each Christian, each believer, what they will do with their life. Because again, God saved us. He saved us to serve him, but we're not puppets on a string that he manipulates. If we were, every Christian would do everything they're supposed to every week, every day. And so he gives us a free will. Well, a true Christian life is to be under God's grace, But it has all of its sources in God, because grace is that which God does in God alone. When He saved me, it was God who saved me. I didn't have any part in it. I asked, I prayed, I believed. But God did the saving. You and I can't save anybody. It's God who saves us. And then when we look at our serving the Lord, it's God who saved me and you alone. But yet we come down to serving God. It's God who's to do the work in us and through us. I saw an old film on it one time, The Touch of the Master's Hand, with the guy at the violin. Anybody ever see it? There's an old violin at an auction, and nobody's hardly bidding, and this one person goes up who could play it and plays a beautiful tune. Once he played that beautiful tune, the bidding went way up. I think the little film was called The Touch of the Master's Hand. The violin is worthless if nobody can play it, so to speak. It cannot give music on its own. You and I are useless in trying to serve God in the energy of the flesh, because sometimes we can stumble through it. But when we experience failure in our lives, it's because people depend on themselves instead of God. And so now, this doesn't relieve the Christian of our responsibility for our lives. We're responsible for our lives, and our responsibility is to yield to the control of God. Go back to John chapter 5. Our responsibility is to yield to the control of God. In John chapter 15, and verse 5, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do everything. Isn't that what it says? No, what does it say? Nothing. We can't do a thing without the Lord. And yet, a lot of people try to do it without Christ. And live their lives, save people, oftentimes live their lives as if there were no God, because they're in charge of their lives. And they're going to do what they want to do. And I'm always reminded of that scripture. It said every one of us should give account of himself unto God. An unsaved person, when they die, and you look at the great white throne judgment, God will show them why they're not going through the pearly gates or going into the lake of fire. And when you and I stand before God, we give an account at the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat, the reward seat of Christ. And we'll answer how we lived our Christian life. How we served the Lord. And the Bible says we'll be without excuse. When God says, why didn't you do? And he'll mention certain things. We're not going to say anything. We're going to be too embarrassed. He doesn't fall for our excuses. But he said, without me, we can do nothing. We need Christ to get saved, and we need Christ for godly living. And for that godly living for the saved is also through Jesus Christ, because he said, without him. And Jesus is talking here to save people. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. We can't do a thing. Look over in John 6:57. We can't do a thing without the Lord. Sometimes we think we can, but we can't. In John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Eateth, he's the bread of life. He's the living water. Basically what he's saying, he that is saved shall live by me. Shall. That's what God wants us to do. And sometimes when people struggle and they say, well, why is this happening? Usually you're going to find out it's because sometimes, instead of living by Jesus, letting him live his life in you and through you, you took a little detour and decided to do it your own way. That's what happens. And I found that to be true over the years, and it bears it out in Scripture. But go to Galatians. Grace. God in his grace, and God in his long-suffering, Galatians chapter 2, if God didn't have grace, he'd look at you and I and go, squash you like a bug, I'm tired of this. But out of the grace of God, he doesn't. You know, we have a wonderful thing. We have a God who loves us and cares for us. We have a God who gives us a second or a third chance, even though he doesn't have to. I've searched the scripture. I have said this many times, but I've never found one place in the Bible where God owes me or you a second or third chance. But praise God, doesn't he give it to us? Amen? He does. That's the grace of God. I read a few things this morning on the law. I dug this out as I was studying some things. And when you look at God's law and you look at grace, the law brings judgment and a curse, and God justifies and frees us from the law. And I got all the scriptures. The law cries out, keep the commandments in every detail, Deuteronomy 27:26. But 1 Peter 1:5 teaches that grace gives assurance that God keeps us. Law demands love, but God's grace shows God's love. The law allows the sinner to sin. Grace removes the sinner's sin. The law makes it hard to get close to God, and I have scriptures there, but God's grace brings us close to God. And as we live our lives and we go through each and every day, as learn to lean on the Lord, as we pray, as we live, and sometimes I've said to people, we might mess up, we might take two steps forward and one backward, but keep going forward and moving forward, keeping our eyes on the Lord. And sometimes we might, on purpose or by accident, get off the main thing, and we got to come back. But we have a God who's a wonderful God and a forgiving God. Galatians 2:20, I've read this many times, but as I was studying on grace, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I died with Christ, and I can show you scriptures. He said, the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. He said, my sins were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Didn't Paul say I die daily? Die to self and self-desires. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now when we look at that, Christ liveth in me. If you're saved tonight, say amen. If you're saved, Christ lives in you. And he lives in me. When I got saved and you got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed us and indwelt us. Everywhere you and I go, the Lord is there. And as I said this morning, sometimes when I say, Lord, would you go with me today? Now, he's there. You don't have to ask him. What we need to do is go with him, really. But he's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. And he's there. But what happens if we're not careful? We don't yield and let him have control of our lives. And that's what we need to do. He won't force himself on us. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I can talk about how Christ liveth in me a long time, but I want to get moving down. And he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yeah, I stopped and thought about that. How can we fail if we live by Jesus Christ's faith? His faith is better than my faith, and it's better than your faith. He says, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, here on this earth, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by his faith. How can he live by his faith? Because Paul, as he learned, that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've got to let God live his life in me and through me. I've got to let him do the work. I must so yield to him to let God do the work through me, the service through me, the praying through me as we pray, and the teaching and the witnessing and the living and the cleaning your house and going to work and everything else. Lord, I need you today. You get up tomorrow morning and you start your day off and you pray. Say, God, I need you today. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need you to live your life through me today. We need to yield to him. Say, how many times do I do that? How many times do you stop at the yield sign and stop? Every time you come to one, we're supposed to stop. And I don't know what it would do. We got two policemen here. Let's say I run through a yield sign and I hit somebody. Ryan back there said, Pastor Bonner, why'd you do that? I said, well, I slowed down and yielded the right of the way 3 weeks ago to a car. Do I have to do it again? Do I? I should, yeah. How many times must we yield to the Lord? Every day. Sometimes several times a day. Yielding. And you know what? Many times people ask the Lord, go with me and help me. I've said that before. But in reality, he's with us. He's in the saved. That makes a huge, huge, big difference. John 7, verse 37 to 39. John 7, 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's a lot of people who are thirsting spiritually. A lot of saved people who kind of dry up spiritually. If you're thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, and at that time, was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It's to come from the inside out, from the in out. It's to flow like a river. There's been songs written, I have peace like a river. And we could go on with other songs that were written after these scriptures. How can someone have that peace of God in their life? Because they've yielded to Him completely. It comes from the inside out. Why in the inside? Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit is there. Let Him work from the inside of you going outward. We sometimes try to work from the outward going inward. If we work by the flesh, and then when we get between a rock and a hard place, we say, God, I need your help. He says, I was willing to help you all along. I was right there with you. You never asked me. If you would have asked me, you wouldn't have got yourself in this mess. God will not impose His way upon us from without. It's to flow out from within like that river, just as naturally as water flows from a spring of water. That's what He's teaching here. It's the outflowing of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God from the innermost being of the believer. Because when we're saved, He indwells us. And He said, out of His belly, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. And He said in the next verse, He's talking about the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and it's to flow from us and to flow outwardly. You know what? Godly living is a natural result of the operation of the Holy Spirit, just as natural as fruit growing on a tree. And if there's no fruit growing on a tree, well, there's something wrong with it. And when there's no fruit in the life of a Christian, there's something wrong in that life which hinders the operation of the Spirit from working in that life. If the tree doesn't produce fruit, you say something's wrong with that tree. There's some reason why that tree doesn't produce fruit. And yet, to look at our own lives, and if that life does not produce fruit, there's a reason why. And usually in the life of a person, it's because of sin in their life. There's something in their life that hinders fruit from coming forth in their life. And the Christian life by grace is not living with some help from God in troublesome times, but a life yielded to God so He can live His life through you, do His will, work through you, and so on by the work of God's Holy Spirit in you. God's Word lays it out for you and me and our responsibilities to yield. But it's all by His grace we're to yield. In the Scripture, we're to yield to righteousness, Romans 6:16. But the decision is always yours and mine. But remember, right or wrong, one day you and I will answer to God. Romans 14:12. So every one of us should give account of himself unto God. It's so much easier to rely on the Lord and let God live His life in us and through us. To depend on Him. To trust in Him. To lean on Him. Every single day. Start the day out and yield to God. And as you pray, as you serve, and you ask God for opportunities to witness, I've quoted this verse over 1,000 times. You're probably 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. God is faithful, and He calls us. He said, I'll do it. Our part is to let Him do it. Because many times we hinder the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we don't let Him do it. Yield. That's why He says yield there in Romans chapter 6. Let's stand tonight.